Well, hi, and welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us into a different life than those around us. I'm Dan, and I'm here with Garrett, and we are going to be talking about AI today, having a conversation about it. And Garrett was the one automatically that I wanted to bring on to have this conversation. So, Garrett, you've actually prepared something. I'm going to hand it over to you to get us rolling.
I'm really excited to be on the show today. Dan, since one of our favorite things to do around here is to watch videos of you watching videos, I just think it would be good for you to watch a collection of videos that I've found on the internet. Some are real, maybe some are AI. And I'd love to get your thoughts about these videos as we dive into this conversation about AI. So I'm going to give you this iPad here.
Oh, gosh. All right, let's take a look. You can ask the flowers. I sit
for hours telling all the bluebirds. How confident do you feel?
I don't know. If it starts flying, I was waiting for it to do something. Like if it flew away, I would know it's fake. I know cat videos are a thing, and so that definitely could be real. It wasn't so bizarre that it couldn't be. But the fact that there are so many cat videos makes me think that somebody just created one from AI. I don't know. Am I supposed to know? Am I supposed to go on or not know?
That one's real.
That one's real. Okay, that one's real. Actually is real.
Yep.
I was waiting for something bizarre to happen.
Swipe over. We'll get your...
What can I get for you?
Just a coffee. Black, thanks.
Sounds good. I'll have that right up.
I was trying to look for hands because I know hands is a thing with AI. They don't get the hands right. So if that was real, then that was like the worst two actors who have ever been hired for a commercial. So I'm going to say that that is not real.
That is not real.
Wow, that is crazy though, because there's nothing about the look of it that would have hinted to me that it's not real.
The first 2 seconds.
The woodenness of it is the only thing that hinted at it. Oh gosh, this is freaking me out, Garrett. All right.
Good afternoon,
this
son.
This is like Fargo.
Want to take a guess why I pulled you over? Oh, it's not what you think. It's liquid death. They're sparkling mountain water. Hmm. Wow. You weren't kidding. That is refreshing.
I know liquid death is a thing. Like, this is a real thing. This isn't a fake product. The mouths didn't seem to be lining up completely with what was being said. Is this fake?
That one's AI.
Okay. See, I'm just guessing that they're all fake because I don't want to be fooled.
I really don't feel that you take the time even to tell me anything that you're doing during the day to make me feel at all close to you. I can't just see you on Saturday night and Sunday and really feel a part of your life.
Well, I just feel it. You've got things to worry about.
If this is real, I'm like, what is this footage? Were they just doing something where they were like, we're going to show you how a husband and wife talk to each other in 1964? It almost seems so... It seems like the way somebody today would imagine a husband and wife talking in 1964, which once again makes me think that it's fake.
That video inspired this entire segment.
Okay.
Because I was so confused. That one's real.
That one is real. Okay.
That one is real. And I had to dive deep to find that out. And I couldn't find that out. So I had, there was some like website, some archive website where that came from.
Some marriage footage.
It was a document, a British documentary on marriages.
Oh. Okay. Well, that at least gives
different countries. And this was the American example.
This was the American. Hey, us as Americans, that's what we do. All right. Is there more?
There's a few more.
Oh, okay. Classic.
Was that say? Does that say 2023
and 2025? 2023 and 2025. The difference between that, man, that is scary.
And now the next one would be a church. Here's a good church.
No, it's Noah. God told me to build a massive ark in the middle of nowhere, so here we are. Airbnb's about to flop after this one.
They coming in pairs, and I didn't even post a flyer. God got better marketing than Nike.
Now that. I know for a fact that was actual footage of Noah.
Yeah.
I knew that there were like photos, sort of like selfies, like that was going around of things. I didn't know that there was videos too.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Well, I think it's a good way to kick off our conversation. I'm kind of curious about what it feels like as we get deeper into this, but what it feels like to be in a place, I think maybe for the first time that I can recall, other than maybe like the advent of editing photos, of being just really unsure about a lot of the things that we're seeing, if it's real, if it's been created, or if it's created to manipulate us or convince us of something. What are your initial thoughts on that? And maybe you can help us lead in some discussion about that.
Well, yeah, I think it is. You know, I think with the internet, maybe we've been there for a while. And even part, like I said this to you when I asked you to be on this episode, I think probably when it comes to AI, and maybe this is broader with technology than AI, but with AI specifically, I think there's probably some of us that our posture is like very cautious and resistant. Like that's me. Like it's sort of like I'm trying to thoughtfully engage, but all my instincts are like, I don't want anything to do with this. I think this is terrible. Where I think that there are others that their initial posture is more open. And even in my interactions with you, I'm like, your posture is much more open. You're not necessarily like, I'm just going to swallow it full scale and everything, but your posture is more like, let's look into this. Let's figure this out. This is interesting. What positive uses are there for this? But I do think when it comes to the internet as a whole, like there already have been things where it's like, all right, is that really happening? Like I remember, and this was just a meme, but years ago, there was some meme of Maxine Waters, the congresswoman, and it like had the tagline of her saying the next Supreme Court justice should be an undocumented worker. And people were sharing it and like, can you believe she said this? And I just remember seeing it and saying, she said some goofy stuff. I can't imagine she said that. And it took like 4 seconds on Google. And I was like, she didn't say that. Mm-hmm. So we already have been living in this age, but the AI stuff is scary. Cause even that Will Smith side by side to say, with none of those videos, would I have said this is AI generated if I wasn't trying to win a game to figure out what was AI generated. All of them, I would have been like, yeah, that was filmed in some coffee shop and they could have got better actors, but I don't know. Like, So it's weird to think about that. And because so much of our lives are spent online, it feels like the stakes are either going to be, this is just the world that we'll inhabit, or is this going to lead to people pulling away, getting more skeptical, or realizing that they've got to go somewhere else for something real because we just don't know what we're seeing.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a tendency to think of new technologies, and I think those who embrace it, even more so than me, to think that tools are just neutral, right? And so the internet is what it is today because it was, for the most part, an open internet, and we've kind of decided this is the things we like to watch and consume and use it for, and it's all about how you use it. And so when we talk about AI and we talk about different postures for it, you know, I think there's almost this temptation to be like, listen, it's fairly neutral. If we use it for good things will come of it. And if we use it, if people want to use it to manipulate, they'll do that and they'll be able to do that and we need to watch out. But I would push back on that a little bit. And I don't think all tools are neutral. I think especially when it comes to technology tools, it's created and invented by someone, by a company, by a multi-billion dollar company who wants to make more money and wants to pay their shareholders even more money and grow and expand. And that right there, they have an agenda. And the agenda typically is wider use, wider reach, maybe even lean towards like dependence. We would, you know, they're not too worried about dependent on it.
They want reasonable use. They want you to be using it so much that you can't stop coming back to it.
Exactly. And so I wonder, and I don't think we know, what is the hidden biases of AI, right? Or I mean, we could even back up and say, most of the AI tools that we know are probably created by, you know, a handful of AI companies. What's their bias, you know? And they would probably tell us there isn't one. We want to use the tool for mankind, but I don't know if that's actually the case.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Just when we do look at tools, I think it's worthwhile for us to say they're not necessarily neutral. And I think this is one of, you know, whenever I think about technology, which I think, but part of what I try to do for myself, because my instincts are so sort of anti-AI, is to sort of talk to myself reasonably about it and say, okay, there have always been technological advances, and there are some of them that maybe I shouldn't be this way, but I'm fully good with. Like, I am fully good with the car. I'm like, cars are good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we have cars. I'm glad if you want a car, you can get a car, and everybody can learn how to drive. Like, I see that as good. You know, even when it comes to the internet, I'm you know, on that one, I might be mixed. I'm like, if we could put that genie back in the bottle and not have the internet, I might vote for that. Mm. But still, I see so much benefit from the internet, and now I've gotten completely used to it, and it's interspersed in my life. So I've tried to look at AI and say, okay, I want to look at it and not say all the technology that sort of like emerged when I was coming of age. That's all good. Anything after that is crazy talk and sci-fi and aliens and robots. I think that that can be a helpful thing for any of us who are resistant to it. But I think for anybody who sort of is a fast adopter, I think it is worth. For me, I'm always looking at the costs. And I think part of the challenge, especially with AI, and especially like ChatGPT and some of the things that really speed things up, is that there's this sort of, you could call it a potential idolatry of efficiency. Where of course we're going to like, of course we're going to have AI generate our logo and our photos and our graphics because that's cheaper and more efficient. Of course, we're going to go to ChatGPT and ask it to compile for us like a script for a video that we're going to do, and then we'll adapt it a little bit because that's just faster and more efficient. And I think that that's one of the costs for me in that is saying, all right, well, what are we losing with efficiency being king? Are we losing something about our humanity? Are we losing the ability to be creative? Are we losing the ability to think critically? Are we losing in the same way that, you know, you're a little bit younger than me, but for people my age, like when I was a kid, I had probably 20 of my friends, I had their phone numbers memorized. Like they were in my, I knew it right away. I'd get on the phone and I would call it immediately. I didn't have to look in a book or in a list. Today I know my phone number, my wife's phone number. I don't even know my kids' phone numbers. That's the crazy thing. I know the church's phone number. That's all I know. Now you can say that's fine. You don't need it. But I do wonder like, have I made my brain lazy by not needing it? So I'm always looking at sort of what are the hidden costs? What are the things we're not taking into account with this? Yeah,
that's an interesting idea that you bring up. In the one of the areas of study that I did when I went back and got my master's was media ecology, which is the study of how technology and media affects society, humans, and communities, you know? And one of the ideas that I've been thinking about is storage is not memory, right? So the idea that the fact that computers can store things, AI can recall things for us, it's not the same as our own personal memory. Memories are things that shape us who we are, shape who we are. They guide us to make future decisions. But having unlimited ability to store everything that you need to store and recall it instantly doesn't create the same lived experiences as living through them. The difficulty of remembering phone numbers and the challenge of that probably stretched and worked your brain to help it recall things better later in life. And so I think that's just an example of, you could say the pro and cons, but almost the trade-off, because sometimes technologies happen. You look at the, you know, before the printing press and after the printing press, you can see a lot of immense benefit from that globally. And I have a tough time knowing the trade-offs, but I'm sure there were some, right? The way that, you know, scribes were recording books, the value people had about books, the value of probably oral tradition is obviously mostly gone. And so when we think about AI or any new technology, I think it is important to think about the trade-offs. And maybe there is some, maybe there is some pushback in a sense that, hey, I'm going to do my life differently, create things in my life that I don't become so dependent on things. But then there's situations in which, hey, that's coming and that's happening, printing press, you know, computers, internet. How can I not lose some of the things that are going to automatically get lost? How do I focus on some of those things so I still have those elements in my life?
Yeah. When I think, you know, I mean, obviously there's different uses for AI now, and in the future there'll probably be other, you know, things that it focuses in on. But one of the things that strikes me is that there's things that people are using AI and especially ChatGPT for that are not wildly different than other ways we've acquired information. Like I can't remember if I was sharing this with you, but I was sharing recently with someone. You know, back before we were using like computer Bible software, I had this book. You know, it's popularly in nerdy circles, it's called BDAG because those are the initials of the four authors of it. It's a Greek lexicon, and it's great. It's sort of like it's the classic Greek lexicon. So if I'm preaching out of the book of Matthew, and I run across a word that Jesus says, I can look it up in BDAG, and it will not only give me a definition, it will tell me all the times in the New Testament that word was used. Right. It's one of the greatest tools I use. You know, now I use it on my computer. I can just click on the word, and it takes me to BDAG, and then I look up all the other references, and I gain insight, and I'm better able to teach. I am fine with the fact that if I want to find out the other uses of that word that Jesus used in Matthew, that I don't have to get out my Greek New Testament and scan all 27 books of the New Testament and just mark them for myself. I'm fine with the idea that somebody has compiled it. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about different AI or ChatGPT, you know, being asked, you know, if you just go to ChatGPT and you say, hey, tell me all of the times, I'm studying through Joshua, tell me all the times that the word, that the place Shiloh comes up in the Old Testament. We'll get into a minute, maybe the fact checking, but I'm like, I'm okay with AI playing that right. function. Like, I'm okay with somebody else, with outsourcing, somebody else compiling raw data that then I sift through and evaluate and make sense of. I think what scares me a lot more is when we're asking AI to sort of generate ideas, evaluate, interpret, just because those are the things that I fear. I don't fear me losing the ability to quickly compile information.
Right.
I fear me losing the ability to think critically. And sometimes it's even just a matter of time. Like this is, when I was thinking of what it's like to be human, you know, we're image bearers. Man, you read the Bible, there's so much that God seems to place a value on waiting. Like things being slow. Like Jesus goes up to a mountainside and he prays all night before choosing his disciples. I was reading just earlier today in 1 Timothy chapter 4 where Paul is encouraging Timothy to labor and persevere in his calling and people will see his progress. And it's the idea that this is a grind. With our efficiency and with all of this and saying, well, why can't I just do it faster? On the one hand, I'm saying it seems foolish to say spend 4 hours doing this thing that you can get in 30 seconds. And at the same time, I look at it and say, is that, that's an extreme example, but are those 4 hours part of the process that gets you where you need to be? And if they're skipped, do you lose something that you can't possibly get in the rest of the process?
Yeah, I mean, those are really good questions. And I love hearing you wrestle with how to use it and other uses that you are concerned about. My question to you is there's some people who aren't wrestling with that. Or, yeah. And not that they're early adopters, but they just don't, they're just like, hey, I heard that it's good for this. I'm going to use it for that. And they don't have that internal light that comes on of like, what am I losing if I do this? Or is this something that I need to be careful about becoming too dependent on? How do we look at something like AI? And maybe I could say, you know, like as Christians and trying our best to live like Jesus, not make any decisions how we're using it yet, but how do we just think critically about what it's doing? Not necessarily with the ability, like you said, to immediately think like, oh, what am I of losing because I'm not waiting? They're just kind of like, this is a great tool. It's going to save me time. It's going to save me money. It's going to save me resources. I'm going to use it. How do we force ourselves to kind of slow down and enter into a place of really discernment with this and other tools like this?
Well, it's good. And that, you know, what you've just asked there, that's really my hope for even this conversation we're having. You know, when I asked you to do this, I said, we're not going to have a conversation and say like, so these are the four takeaways. We're opening up. We're probably going to do more episodes, whether it's you and I involved or whether we get somebody under 40. Like, you're younger than me. Like we actually 42. We technically have a generation between us. Like I'm Gen X, you're a millennial, but we're both a couple of guys in their 40s. Eventually we should have some people who are more natives to this, talking about this. Cause I think you're right that for some people, it doesn't even feel like a choice. Like I remember hearing one podcast where a pastor was talking about wrestling with some younger pastors and kind of telling them maybe you shouldn't use ChatGPT for these uses. And to them, it just sounded stupid to them. They were like, that's insane. It would be like saying, do research, but don't use the internet. We'd be like,
right,
how do I even do that? And so when I think about it, I think there are probably some people that are adopting without much thought. And then there are probably some people resisting without much thought. and to say, okay, we're not going to come to the end of this episode and say, here's exactly what you should do. Like, I've never used ChatGPT. I'm not saying everybody should do that. That might even be a flaw in me that I'm like so like paranoid about it that I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But just to say, okay, if you're adopting without thinking, that's probably not good. And if you're resisting without thinking, that's probably not good.
Right.
And for me, part of what I want us to have in this process is to say, what as human beings, like what is it that it means? I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. What is involved with growing in and reflecting the image of God in the fullest way that we can? And just even noticing that, all right, a lot of ChatGPT and a lot of AI is about quickness and efficiency. We joke about this sometimes, even with God's purposes. We say, all right, if God just wanted to get the gospel out to the world, having it go through human beings with all our foibles and our limitations and our arguments with each other, that's not efficient. You know, like God could have got on a megaphone and just got the gospel out, but there's something about the process. There's something about what he's doing in us. There's something about the slowness. When we even think of spiritual growth and that happening, not just because God zaps us, but you know, the whole joke about don't pray for patience, you
know,
pray for patience. God will not just zap you with patience. He'll put you through the ringer where you'll go through situations that slowly form patience in us. Even when you think of the fruit of the Spirit, I remember Tim Keller one time talking about the idea with the fruit of the Spirit. It's such a powerful analogy because you don't plant a tree and there's fruit the next day. Fruit is a slow process. Right. And so I think even in our fast culture, AI is not the thing that has made things fast. We're already there. I think we can lose track so much of the idea that there's something that happens just in the slowness of development. And that even for us, when we think about prayer, I think, man, a lot of us, even those of us who would probably be considered to be more mature Christians, and a lot of us struggle to pray for like 15 minutes straight.
Right.
I think part of that is just that we're just not used to waiting for anything. What was it you or I think it was somebody else that had told me the average time that people wait for the microwave? Did we talk about that?
Uh-uh.
All right, this was another friend I was talking about AI with, and he was saying he couldn't remember, but it was some study that he saw that it was typically what happens if you go and you check and the microwave is being used, but you want to use the microwave. If there's less than 30 seconds left on the microwave, you wait for it. If there's more than 30 seconds, you go do something else.
Okay.
Because that's just too long to stand there. Wait.
Yes.
Like you go put something in the table or you go like, you know, get a snack, whatever it is. And I thought that was funny. And it also made me think, all right, when you have those down times, when you're forced into downtime, when you can't just occupy yourself, sometimes that's when significant things happen.
Absolutely. That's something that I speak about a lot. And it's something that's challenging for my generation. And I work with our young adults in college, and it's almost foreign to be bored. And I try to not shame whenever we talk about, especially in situations where like the world around them is changed and they grew up in a different childhood than we grew up on. And so when I say you use your devices too much, or you depend on them too much, or you're too addicted to social media. And what I'm trying to do is remove my expectation of how I use it and place that on them, even though there might be things I wish to impart and some wisdom I wish to impart. But something that I talk about, especially when it comes to spending time with God, spending slow time with God, and you know, I'll admit to them, I'll say it probably was easier in previous generations to be able to hear God's voice. You know, I say this joke, imagine how much time when you read the Bible, the disciples and the prophets, when they were just walking to get somewhere, and they weren't even driving, they're just walking. What did they have to entertain themselves with? The answer is nothing.
Yeah,
entertainment wasn't.
They weren't putting in their earbuds for that walk.
just walk. And if it was by themselves, there wasn't even someone to talk to. And so the idea of hearing God's voice, if you desire that, there are things you can do with your relationship with technology it doesn't mean there are things to hear God's voice tomorrow, but it means you've got to create that space to hear God's voice first. And if technology is moving so fast and it's so consuming, then I'm not surprised that you struggle to hear God's voice. And so those are different kinds of ways you can think about how is technology impacting your life, and in a deeper way, impacting your spiritual life. And in some sense, while they may be hard, there are typically easy and obvious steps to take that you see pretty immediate benefits from.
Well, yeah. And I think it's good, even as we're talking about AI, to put it in the broader context of technology. Like, I was talking to another friend about this, and one of the things that I was positing was, I was saying, part of my concern, if we keep outsourcing kind of these activities to AI and just take the shortcuts, is that we'll lose the ability to think critically. And he said, just to play devil's advocate, how many people right now are thinking critically? He was like, are we? And his point was well taken, that we're not going to from zero to 100 with AI. Like, right. we've already been on this road. And part of what I've tried to do in my life, and I feel like I am on my phone too much. I feel like I do have too much noise. So I don't feel like I'm the perfect model in this by any stretch of the imagination. But I've tried to carve out times where I have uncomfortable quiet. Mm-hmm. Like the last 2 years, I've gone on a personal retreat. And what I've chosen to do on the personal retreat is it's not a silent retreat in the sense that I don't talk, but it's I don't listen to anything. Hmm. I don't watch anything. Now, it's like 48 hours. It's not a week.
Right.
But it, at the beginning of it, it is so uncomfortable.
Right.
Like I was out at the beach when I did the last one, and I went on this bike ride, and it was funny because when I told people afterwards, like I chose to have it be a quiet retreat, and they were like, oh, so like you only listen to sermons. And I was like, no, like I wasn't listening to anything. Like, yes. It was quiet. And man, I was like mad. I was like, when is this going to be over? And then as things started to flow, right. There suddenly are the opportunities to say, well, there's the quiet to actually say, you know what, Lord, I'm just realizing I've been really burdened by this. And I'm actually still upset about this thing that I said I forgave somebody else for. And I didn't realize I was still holding on to that. And Lord, I haven't even had time to realize it, because every moment I have is I fill with something else. But I'm actually really anxious about this thing coming up. And I'm really stressed out. And maybe that's why I was snapping at my kid earlier. Mm. I mean, things like that just start to come up. So I would at the very least say for all of us, and this is broader than AI, we've got to have at least the capability of getting away. And even, you know, whether that's for a certain amount of time each day, or whether that's having it on a rotation where you say, hey, then, you know, it's an hour each day where I'm just device free. Like my phone is not just set down, it's off, and whatever it is. And then maybe that turns into, you know, like a one day a week, for a whole evening or for 8 hours. And then once a month, I take a whole week. Maybe there's some rotation like that, but just having the capability of being free. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we think we want freedom, and we see freedom as the ability to indulge whatever we want in the moment. Like the freedom in this regard is the freedom to be at least capable of not having it, to be capable of not using it. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have the freedom to use AI and technology and noise and all that. Have we so used it that we are not even free to stop using it? And right. If that's the case, then I'd say for any of us, we got to figure out a way to wean ourselves off. And probably that's going to be done in community, because all on your own, that's very hard to do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're speaking to feeling the way in which technology, internet has rewired your brain, and you desire a break from that, you know? And I think we all need that. This is middle of August 2025, and I just been watching some videos online that right now the top new trending app in the Apple App Store is an app that helps you put your phone down and turn it off, and it's going viral. This app is going viral of how amazing it is and how it helps you to put your phone away and not use it, and a smartphone store is selling it. It just is bizarre. It's a bizarre situation, but it makes sense. Yeah. Because a lot of us are really unhappy with our dependence on technology for various number of reasons. But like you said, it's, if we're desiring more time with God, we're desiring community, it's pretty clear that by not thinking about these things critically and practicing some type of wisdom with technology and discernment, it's way too easy to find ourselves in overdependence and overuse and overreliance, and probably, if we're honest with ourselves, pretty obviously being able to tell the ways that it's negatively affecting us.
Yeah. When I think, you know, when we cross over into the community discussion, I think that's a huge part of this also, just because, and again, it's hard because right now it's like if I was trying to remember where a Bible verse was, and like this actually happened the other day, I was like, there was a Bible verse I had in mind. I thought I knew where it was. I looked it up and I was like, well, it's not there. Where is it? And so I just started Googling some of the words and it came up immediately. I'm like, okay, without Google, probably I would have walked over to some, you know, I would have walked and talked to Jeff or you or John or somebody and been like, hey, you know the verse that says this? Do you remember where it is? And then we would have had a conversation and maybe you would have remembered and you would have told me. And then maybe we would have even talked, like, why were you wanting to find out that verse? Oh, it feels like it ties into the sermon. And then we might have had a good conversation about it. Mm-hmm. Now, who knows? But right now I've lost that's going to be something that's going to happen. I think there's just so much that goes on with technology in our lives that just takes us away from feeling like we need people. Mm. And the fact is our bodies know we do need people. God has put us in this position where we need people. A couple of years ago, my son was dating a girl and they went out on a date. And he just told me afterwards that the server was very, very complimentary toward them because the entire date they were talking to each other. Like there were two 17-year-old kids talking to each other. And what, of course, she meant was you weren't on your phones. You're like, there are so many couples that are just sitting next to each other and they're not even interacting on their phones. And so I think pushing us toward the idea of we really do need other people. And maybe I can tell myself, I don't need any other person to find out where that Bible verse was. I figured it out in a different way. I'm not saying that now I've got to not use Google, but maybe I do need to think about what are the things that in other ages I would have needed another person for, and now I'm telling myself I don't need that other person. Because, you know, like if you've seen the movie Her, or if you've even seen some of the headlines lately, the whole plot of Her, which now is, that's crazy. That's like 12 years old.
Yeah, probably,
That feels to me like not an old movie. But he falls in love with his operating system. Right. And it felt kind of poignant. And now you're seeing news stories of weird things happening with this. Mm-hmm. You don't need a person. You've got this operating system that's going to listen to you and has all the answers and has the knowledge and has the capacity to interact with you. What are the things that we've started to assume we don't need people for? And at the very least to pause and to say, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I really do need people for that.
I think what this does, is it definitely reveals our self-centeredness because a lot of those ways in which we can use technology to skirt community are easier. Not that example that, you know, you shared a good example of I can Google it or I can go talk to someone. That's a good example, but there's people who are really not seeking the hard parts of community, the uncomfortableness of making space for someone else. And they're only focused on what can I get out of my time here on earth and my time that I have for myself. And I do think to kind of circle back a little bit to some of the biases is a lot of the technologies see no problem with that you find this easier. And something that my wife is a therapist, something that's been popping up is AI therapy, where, you know, I guess you could probably do voice, but you tell them your problems and your issues. And the AI therapist goes all the way through that, looks through all of the data on what would be most helpful. And to be honest, they say the helpful things. And people do say that it's helpful. Now, granted, maybe it is helpful versus not having done that. But that's not the same as having someone care about you and be in the same space for you and to hear you and for them to make space for you in their life and in their heart and in their consideration. And so when they speak to you, it's coming from a place of care instead of just a place of information.
Yeah.
But if we're like, that's all I have time for, or that's easier because no one has to look at me and make me feel uncomfortable, then we're going to find ourselves in a situation in which people are only doing the bare minimum to live a meaningful life.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because it's sort of like a workaround where I remember hearing, this was probably several years ago that I heard the story where there was this business that had opened up where you could go to this business and you could get hugs.
Okay.
And the whole idea behind it was that there was this science saying, this is what happens to your body when you get a hug and we need these. And these are the different, you know, sort of like
cortisol or something.
Yeah. It shows how incompetent I am in this area that I don't even know what it was. But it just struck me as this odd thing where I was like, I want, and I don't know, but I'm like, I wonder if that would work because I wonder if what's really going on is that we're trying to hack the system. We're like, okay, how can I get the thing that I need to tell my body that I'm loved and that I'm okay without actually having to be loved and okay?
Right.
Or is it the fact that typically when you're getting a hug, it means that you're loved. It means that you have somebody in your life that cares enough about you. And so it just struck me as on the one hand, it made a lot of sense. And on the other hand, how sad that we're like, okay, how can I get the thing that I feel like I need? How can I hack the system without actually having to be vulnerable enough to put myself in a relationship? Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, the thing that you brought up about the AI therapy, I think that's probably another example of just where we're trying to hack it. We're trying to say, okay, I want this thing, but I don't even want to have a flesh and blood person listening to me because maybe I'm ashamed or I don't think I have the time or who knows, I'd say something and who knows how they would react. I want to hack the system and just get that. And to say, as human beings, that's just not going to work. Like if there's one core thing God has revealed himself about himself, it's that at his very nature, the most true thing about God is that he is triune. He is relational. If we are in his image, arguably the most true thing about us is that we are relational and that we desperately need it. There's a reason why solitary confinement is like the worst thing that people can do to you, even worse than different forms of torture. And so I think that's another thing, just as we're inviting people to have thoughts, to say, okay, am I trying to hack something? Am I trying to work around the vulnerability that's involved or the inconvenience or the drama or the messiness that's involved with having real flesh and blood human beings in my life that can bring me the greatest highs, but also hurt me in different ways.
I love that. It makes me think of a good place that we can try to end and provide some wisdom. And I think here's what I want to ask, and maybe it's on the spot, but like you, what are some questions we can ask ourselves to make sure that our relationship with technology is at least we're considering where we're at? And one of them is, are you using it as a way to get around the messiness of relationships that involve both lows and highs? We can't have the good without the bad of relationships. Yeah. Are we using it to skirt that? What are some other questions we can ask ourselves to see if our heart is in the right place?
Yeah, I mean, one that would definitely come up for me is saying, are you capable of stillness? And I don't know if stillness is the right word, but it's the word that comes to mind because it's not simply quiet. But are you capable of stillness? I was reading a book the other day, and I won't get the quote exactly right. I should have written it down because I thought I might use it. But it was from Blaise Pascal, the philosopher. And his quote was something to the effect of saying, all the problems of mankind are the inability to sit quietly in a room by ourselves. And that's an exaggeration, but there's something to that.
And that wasn't a recent quote.
No, that was hundreds of years ago. Yeah. And so I do think if we can look at ourselves and say, am I capable of having quiet, like even just in the car, am I capable of this 15-minute drive to school or to work? Am I capable of just saying, no noise? I'm just going to stay quiet. If we're not, I think that's something that we want to cultivate instead of just automatically saying, well, I got 3 minutes. I better flip on a podcast or a song or something like that. Have I lost the ability to be still?
Yeah.
What else comes to your mind just in terms of principles and questions?
I think of, and maybe this is kind of basic, but I think of when we're thinking about integrating AI tools into workflows and into the creative process, I like to think about quantity versus quality. It's not to say that AI can't help make quality things, but it's like, what are you turning to it for? Are you turning it to be, like you said, overly efficient and to get through the hard part of wrestling with an idea? Or are you using it to make your idea better? Are you using it to make the ideas? I find it really helpful as someone who's, for better or worse, probably worse, more of an idea person. I feel like I have a lot more ideas than I do a record of successfully completed projects. And I use it a lot of times to help me get my ideas out there, whether that's on metaphorical paper, whether that's in the world, whether that's visually. And I'm doing it by giving the AI tools my ideas and having it help me wrestle through, think through thoughts, consider things that I haven't considered. And I think that that process takes long, maybe not as long as if I didn't have that tool to help me. But I think that I'm considering, is this helping me get it done now and getting done more things, or is it helping me get the things done that I want to get done in a way that I think makes them better and more effective?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, one more. I may, this will probably be my last contribution, but just I think asking the question and really wrestling with the question, what am I potentially losing? And this goes especially for the AI by taking this shortcut, which shortcuts aren't necessarily bad. But I just think, you know, when our kids were younger, a lot of times if there was, you know, the word, I don't know, comes up a lot with kids and it's not always appropriate. Sometimes it's, you know, like, what happened? What did you do? Why are they mad at you? Hmm. What do you think they're feeling right now? And just, I don't know. And a lot of times when we were doing well with parenting, Karina or I would say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about it for 30 seconds before you say, I don't know again. And they would be mad, but they'd sit there. And once they started to think, they could say, probably they're mad because like it was there. Mm. Like it was attainable, but because they just wanted to, I just don't know. Mm-hmm. Man, I just think there's probably a lot of times that we could reason out something and we could come to a fruitful process of thinking through like, oh, wait, actually, now I'm remembering this. Now I'm making a connection between this scripture and this scripture. I'm remembering this thing. But if we skip so quickly to the shortcut, we can end up missing out. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, especially if you're a quick adopter, just wrestle with the question a little bit. What am I potentially missing out on by so frequently using this tool?
Yeah, yeah. I'll add one more. And we've kind of touched on this earlier, but you know, it's the idea of using this technology or this tool, is it making me more neighbor-focused or me-focused? And good. I think that's really, maybe that's really hard because like the phone is right here. I'm using it to kill time. I'm using it for entertainment. I don't know how I would use it for other. I was like, well, when you open up your feed and you're presented with friends and family you've known for years and they're posting pictures of things and that, do you swipe past the person who's talking about a family issue or crisis and looking for prayer because you want to get to the next video or the next ad or the next game? Or are you slowing down and being like, I can use this tool right now to show care for other and be like, you know, Nancy, I'm so sorry you're going through that. I want you to know that me and my family are praying for you. Let me know if you need anything. And then maybe that took you so long that you don't even need to go on your phone to waste time.
Good.
So is the technology just serving only you? Or do you find yourselves at least some of the time finding ways to use that technology to get you to love others?
Oh, that's great. Just a quick thing to add on to what you were saying, because I think that was really significant. I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago, it was the guy on the podcast was talking, he was trying to get free of his phone and figure out how to not be so addicted to his phone. And part of what he did was, I think it was for 2 months, he lived with an Amish family. Mm. And his comment, to me, his most memorable comment about the Amish is he says, we think they're anti-technology. They're not anti-technology, but the question that they ask before as a community adopting a new technology is, will this technology bring us together as a community or bring us further apart? Mm. Will this bring me closer to my neighbor or further apart? And that's something that ever since I listened to that has been running through my mind when I've thought of my use. And so that just, yeah. I think that's a great comment, Garrett.
Yeah.
Well, this will not be the last time we talk about this subject. Yep. And part of even, for those of you who are listening, we wanted to do this because we know this is out there. We're thinking about this. You're thinking about this. This is a part of our world. And even though we don't have fully formed thoughts on everything, we thought it was worth saying, how do we as believers wrestle with this and try to think biblically and scripturally and with a gospel orientation towards something that is new and we're all trying to figure out? So I hope that this has been helpful. I hope that this stirs conversations. If you find that this might be something fruitful to listen to as a family or with a friend or say, listen to this portion of it and let's just talk about it, that would be a joy to us. We would love for those conversations to be happening. We put out episodes of The Christian Contrast every 2 weeks. So if you found this helpful, you can go on our website, lbf.church, or you can go to our YouTube page for Life Bible Fellowship Church and find other episodes. If you have comments or questions on the stuff we've talked about, we'd love to have you leave a comment because we'd love to come back and interact with you on that. So until our next episode in 2 weeks, thanks so much for taking the time to listen.